SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is hour number three of this Friday Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here in studio together for one final hour on this Friday, for one final hour of this week on the early line. So much to get to in this final hour. It is day number two of the NFL draft, rounds two and three. The market's starting to pop up on the FanDuel Sportsbook, where we can find you some money on this Friday. A triple header of NBA playoff action. Casey Hudson joins the show in this third and final hour for some breakdowns around the ice in the Stanley Cup postseason. And of course, DRS, we start by hearing from the people. Who had the worst opening night of the 2024 NFL draft? We'll just tell you. Listen, we want to get to it, right? We want to just hear from the people. Enough of us. We've been on this network for 2 hours talking so much about the NFL draft. What did you think? Whose NFL draft one performance was worse? The Buffalo Bills or the Atlanta Falcons? And it's a runaway, and rightfully so. 75% of the public DRS saying the Falcons had the worst night.
The best part about this poll, just to start it out, is one team had a pick, one team didn't have a pick, and the overwhelming majority of the people are agreeing with the right side here. That's the Falcons with the worst performance in round number one, 75% of the votes coming in there, and that's the way it should be. You take a pick that your first-round pick should be the easiest pick of the entire night for your organization. Pick a great player. Your fan base is going to be happy. Plug and play. Sell jerseys right away, and away you go. And the Falcons did opposite. They didn't make themselves better. All they did was make themselves controversial at the top position on their own team, which is never a good thing. And anybody out there goes, hey, man, competition's great for Kirk Cousins. Have you ever been in a situation where they play somebody right behind you and say, yeah, kid, we love you, but you slip up at all. We don't love you anymore. Nobody likes that. So no single player likes that situation, regardless of how much they say they love competition. No, they don't.
This is bad from every angle, as we shared during our draft night one winners and losers. If you are Kirk Cousins, you have every right to be infuriated. From the Atlanta perspective, you paid Kirk a four-year, $180 million deal with $100 mil guaranteed. What's with the investment if you're going to invest in what is the most valuable asset in the National Football League, a first-round pick, a top-10 pick, on a quarterback? If you're Michael Penix Jr., you're now thrust into a situation where you're going to be on the bench, or the investment in Kirk Cousins makes absolutely zero sense, and you probably don't get a chance to prove yourself in the National Football League until your third year of a rookie deal that then needs to be picked up for your fifth-year option after that season. And that's early in this case scenario at the age of 26, and that means that 2 years into the four-year deal for Kirk Cousins, although the outs are there, it didn't work out for the Falcons in the way you expected to be a true conference championship contender and really taking a stronghold of the NFC South. Everything is mind-boggling. And I mentioned Diana Russini, the Athletic's lead NFL reporter, reporting last night that maybe part of the rationale for the Atlanta Falcons drafting Michael Penix Jr. at 8th overall is because they feel that they'll have so much success under Kirk Cousins, they won't have an early first-round draft pick to get his heir apparent. Again, that makes zero sense. Everything that Terry Fontenot, the general manager in Atlanta, had to say about this pick. Well, we hope that 4 to 5 years down the line, Michael Penix Jr. is the guy. He might not even be there based on his rookie contract, Terry. Please understand how these deals work. And then we got further reporting from Diana Russini earlier this morning, DRS, that the Atlanta Falcons did not fly Michael Penix Jr. in for a top 30 visit. They attended his combine workout for 45 minutes, spoke to him in Indy, were so infatuated with what they heard, they felt comfortable enough making this pick. Again, none of it makes sense. None of it makes sense. The rationale does not make any sense to me.
By the way, they're going to get hit with some tampering charges maybe on Kirk Cousins. So we're led to believe that. And again, organizations spend a lot of money. We talk about some of like FBI capabilities. Like they knew more about the player than anybody else, including the families of the players themselves. Now, if we're looking and saying, do we actually believe this, Ben? Well, let's be honest. Well, we have an official top 30 pick. That's why you can't have 70 picks. You get a top 30 pick, you can bring him in a certain amount of time. Yeah. So we're led to believe they showed up, watched about a 45-minute workout, and like, you know what, we're going to change our entire franchise to pick this guy. We're not going to interview him. We're not going to talk to him. We're not going to do anything here. I want to see those burner phones, Ben, that were every single day we're feeding him the playbook and asking him questions left and right. Because there's no way you just chose your quarterback to lead your franchise, hopefully in a couple years, and you barely know anything about the guy or talk to him other than watching a practice and obviously some film from college. This is going to be widely panned all the way around. The worst part about it for the Atlanta Falcons in the front office, they can't even justify it.
No.
Like, are you telling me, like, next year, like, the goal is Kirk Cousins blows his knee at week three, that's why we got Penix?
Yeah.
That's like saying, like, you buy your first house, but you buy a second one because you expect a flood to wash away your first half, and just in case you want that second house, and look how smart we were. This isn't a smart use because, again, you're not getting, even though it is a rookie contract, it's a top 10 contract.
Yeah.
And every year it compounds, it gets more expensive, so then you might wind up saying, the reason why you get the fifth year on that rookie deal is, well, we have 3 years to evaluate. 1 year to evaluate? I don't understand the pick whatsoever. Maybe it works, but right now today, it is a terrible look for the Falcons.
And maybe you'll hear comparisons to Jordan Love being drafted 26th overall in 2020 to the Packers and sitting behind Aaron Rodgers, and look how well it did for Green Bay this past season, a playoff win, and Jordan Love looks sensational. It's not the same thing. That was the 26th overall pick for a young quarterback. Michael Penix Jr. is not that. To develop in the days of a top 10 pick, sitting on the bench and learning behind a veteran, even for a season. And this should not, if you're Atlanta, be only a season on the bench for Michael Penix Jr. if Kirk Cousins is going to match any of the expectation set after signing that big free agent deal. Again, none of it makes sense. We spent a lot of time bad-mouthing, and rightfully so, Terry Fontenot and the Atlanta Falcons. Now let's turn our attention to the Buffalo Bills. Only 25% of this vote. We expected Atlanta probably to run away with this fade the public poll. Buffalo did not have a first-round pick, as you mentioned. Originally slotted into the number 28 overall selection spot. Traded back initially with the Kansas City Chiefs. Trading with your nemesis to help KC move up. DRS on the Sports Grid draft special last night with Warren Sharp and Adam Kaplan, two guys that know the National Football League incredibly well. Inside sources, insight that we love here on the network. The thought was that the only reason Brandon Bean would have listened to a call from Kansas City is if KC said, don't worry, we're going after an lineman. They did not. They took Xavier Worthy, who everybody thought Buffalo was going to take, and then you allow Xavier Worthy, the speedster, to join Patrick Mahomes and KC, the team that has kept you from the AFC Championship trophy and a Super Bowl appearance three times in the last 4 years. That was confounding and shocking in its own right. And then Buffalo trades out once again, out of the first round entirely, allowing Carolina to come up at 32 overall to take Xavier Leggett, another wide receiver, this time from South Carolina. So everybody expect Buffalo to take a wide receiver. The Bills are favored right now for their first pick of this draft in 2024, minus 370 to take a wideout. What did you make of the moves for Brandon Bean and the Bills?
It also goes along with the timeline, Ben, because sometimes you're just going to look at last night as a snapshot. It's only a couple hours. It was one pick. They didn't pick it, and everybody's angry, and rightfully so for Buffalo, because this isn't a team looking to rebuild and stack picks. It's, hey, could we get good football players in here? We can make a run to an AFC championship, something they haven't been able to do, but also at the same time helping out the team that you've been trying to beat for the past couple years. And also, as I bring back, not just from last night, the offseason. How did they help themselves out? In salary cap hell, cut a lot of good football players, and traded away Stephon Diggs, who's been an absolute superstar stud wide receiver since the time you got him from Minnesota. That's why it's compounding here on Buffalo. Maybe they pull some rabbits out of a hat. Maybe it's a trade today in day number two to get a Brandon Ayuk or a Debo Samuel, and you can make it up. But the only thing we can look at the optics are from one night. That was the question.
So that's the thought. That's the optimistic silver lining view for Buffalo, that they acquired all this draft capital to have enticing trade packages for Cincinnati's T. Higgins, for one of the San Fran wide receivers, Brandon Ayuk or Debo Samuel. But again, they're in cap hell.
Yeah.
And the cap hits for Josh Allen spike starting this year. You're going to have to extend T. Higgins, Debo Samuel, and or Brandon Ayuk a ton. We saw A.J. Brown get a three-year, $96 million deal. All three of those wide receivers mentioned are probably north of $27, $28 million. Again, interesting. We'll set the stage for night two of the NFL draft next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Friday on the early line. Night number one of the 2024 NFL draft is done, but night number two on the horizon. The Buffalo Bills on the clock to start off round number two. It's rounds two and three tonight. Day number two, day number three tomorrow, rounds four through seven to complete the entirety of the 2024 NFL draft. So the Buffalo Bills are on the clock with the 33rd overall pick. They have traded back twice so far in this 2024 draft. They have moved out of the first round. We have said it. Buffalo still, they entered the draft greater than a $3 favorite to take a wide receiver with their first pick. Didn't have to be in the first round, just the first selection that Buffalo actually ended up making. And it's still a minus 370 price for the Buffalo Bills to draft a wide receiver. But Donnie, the conversation we just had and the interesting moves that Buffalo made last night, a lot of people are thinking the Bills are doing this to not draft a wide receiver, but trade for a wide receiver, either Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk from San Francisco. The Niners took Ricky Pearsall out of Florida. Maybe they're getting ready to look at the younger generation at the wideout spot. And, of course, Cincinnati's T. Higgins, under the franchise tag, not happy with the franchise, has demanded a trade. All three of those names could potentially be in consideration.
Now see, the good part about this is you can always redeem yourself, right? And you take a look at the Atlanta Falcons. I don't know how they redeem themselves because you're looking at a blown first-round draft pick. Regardless of how it turns out, it didn't have good optics last night. The Buffalo Bills did have a first-round pick and traded out of it. So theoretically, they didn't have a first-round pick. But also, when you're looking at the Buffalo Bills, you need playmakers on that team now, right? So if you go out today, Ben, and you say, okay, the first pick in the second round is up for sale, and here come the San Francisco 49ers and say, you know what? First pick of the second round is worthy of either A, one of our two starting wide receivers, and you go that way for the Buffalo Bills, and you tell me, hey, by the way, our first-round draft pick turned into Brandon Ayuk. Nobody's going to have an issue with that. That is exactly what they want. But if that first-round draft pick gets traded into the second round, and then you wind up with, let's just say, Kool-Aid McKinstry, who I do think is going to be a very good NFL player, that doesn't help Josh Allen end that offense. It really doesn't. We know what the Buffalo Bills needed coming into this draft. It's an explosive wide receiver to try to take the pressure off of Josh Allen after you just lost your number one wide receiver. It's pretty simple math. You should be hunting that trade across the markets, even if it turns into a T. Higgins. That'd be a wonderful move for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
I just can't see the Buffalo Bills going, okay, Cooper DeJean, first round pick, or second pick, first pick of the second round,
right.
That's where we're going here. That's not what Buffalo needs. We need weapons on offense, man.
And I think there is some conversation. Of course, the Buffalo Bills have pretty much cleaned house. They had to because of all the cap space they have or do not have at this current point entering 2024, but mainly the wide receiver room. No longer Stephon Diggs, no longer Gabe Davis. Really, Khalil Shakir is their top guy at the moment.
Now.
That can't be the case for Josh Allen and the Bills entering the 2024 NFL season when it begins. So there is some talent at the wide receiver spot, but it was the big three, then a drop-off to Brian Thomas Jr., and then probably a drop-off to the other wide receivers in this class. Seven wideouts ended up going in the first round over the draft position prop. With some plus money, it wasn't the expected outcome. We thought six or less. We got seven on the opening night. But A.D. Mitchell out of Texas, big body, big play wide receiver still there. Ladd McConkey from Georgia, maybe as reliable as a receiver as you will see. Still on the board right now if Buffalo goes the rookie wideout route. And I would just argue this. If you're the Buffalo Bills, if you're Brandon Bean, if you make a trade for one of those big-name wide receivers, great, star power. Josh Allen would be happy, but you're going to have to pay him. There is going to need to be an extension for Deebo Samuel, for Brandon Ayuk, for T. Higgins, and it's going to be at least $25 million, if not more than that, and you're already not in a great space in terms of your cap room. I actually think it might make more sense, and I'm not saying Ladd McConkey's better than T. Higgins or A.D. Mitchell is better than Deebo Samuel. I'm not making that argument, but all things taken into account, a rookie wide receiver on a four-year day two deal DRS might actually make more fiscal sense and pay off in production-wise long-term than having to pay one of those big three names.
And also keep in mind, there's a lot of moves that you can make. There's no saying that with that first. Let's just say if it is the first pick and they keep it in the second round here, and they trade that for Brandon Ayuk. Who's to say they can't move up again and take one of these wide receivers in the second round and say, we got our veteran guy and our young guy to grow with? And you bring up a good point, too. Deebo Samuel actually just got paid for the 49ers. So I don't know if he's really angry about his contract at this point. But Brandon Ayuk is a wonderful wide receiver. And quite frankly, the fit with the Buffalo Bills would be much better with Ayuk, that pure route runner on the outside, beat you deep here. When, look, I love Deebo Samuel. He fits perfectly in that San Francisco offense along with Ayuk, but if I'm the Buffalo Bills, I don't need the Swiss Army knife. I need the true number one outside wide receiver, and that's what Brandon Ayuk would give you there. So we're going to give some room here for the Buffalo Bills. They could hit a home run today, but if I do think they're just going to draft cornerback, let's just say, with their first pick today, that's not going to be a great look because, again, it just gets back to the point. Surround your quarterback with talent. It works out long term here, and it doesn't look like the Buffalo Bills are doing that right now.
And listen, Cooper DeJean is as good as you will see. I think one of the reasons he has fallen in this NFL draft is because he broke his leg this past year at Iowa. He's actually favored in a match bet at minus 148 to go before Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama tonight. Johnny Newton, as good of an interior defensive lineman, as productive as an interior defensive lineman as you will see in college football, whatever team gets him tonight, you're getting some steals with those three best defenders still on the board. A.D. Mitchell, favored to go at minus 235 before Ladd McConkey as well. Both can be instant impact wide receivers. Jackson Powers Johnson, who I thought was going to be the 10th O-lineman drafted last night, the center from Oregon, who can do a lot in the interior, also a steal on day number two. No running backs taken in the first round. Very different from a season ago when we saw Bijan Robinson at 8, Jahmyr Gibbs at 12, Jonathan Brooks now a minus 155 favorite. The odds growing even stronger that he will be the first running back taken tonight. Maybe staying in the Lone Star State, the Dallas Cowboys could be looking for a running back replacement.
I mean, I'm looking at a steal on that board right now, Ben, 35-1. Tell me about this guy. Tell me about this guy, Will Shipley from Clemson out here. He's going to be a steal, people. Big Will. If you haven't found out about him, which many people I know haven't found out about him just yet, you wait. There's some surprises you might just like out of Will Shipley. But, yes, the running back at market, depressed here in the NFL draft, but not depressed here in the offseason, Ben. Running backs are getting paid this year. Maybe it's a new change here. You just draft them late and pay them later now.
Will Shipley, Ricky
Tell me
Pearsall,
about it. Oh,
Cooper
so
DeJean, anything
Ladd McConkey.
In common there.
Man.
I did not think that was coming up on this show. That's good stuff. Spencer Rattler, by the way, might be the 7th quarterback taken in the NFL draft. The Raiders couldn't get Michael Penix Jr. Might they make a move on Rattler here on night number 2? More on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A full Major League Baseball slate on this Friday and a very good one. We rip around 5 of the best live right here on the early line, and we start with best versus best in Atlanta. The Atlanta Braves, the best record in all of MLB, 17-6. They take on the team with the second best winning percentage in all of Major League Baseball. The Cleveland Guardians at this moment after a win yesterday at home, bouncing back against Boston, 18-7. So today in the ATL, it's the Braves and the Guardians. Atlanta greater than a $2 favorite. Best versus best. Why is Atlanta greater than a $2 favorite against Cleveland?
Everybody's scared to bet against Atlanta, and sometimes rightfully so at this point. If you take a look at the weather conditions down there in Atlanta, 74 degrees with a wind blowing in here from right field at 10 miles per hour. But here's the interesting part. Take a look at Logan Allen, the left-handed pitcher on the mound. Struggling this year, as some lefties do, against right-handed batters. Then he's faced 94 of those, a 271 ISO power number and a 379 weighted on base percentage. So immediately, where do your eyes go? To the right-handed batters in the lineup tonight here for the Atlanta Braves. Now let's take a look overall at the lineup itself. You figuring left-handed batters, or left-handed pitchers, right-handed pitchers, not going to be any difference for the Atlanta Braves, but there is a market difference. Acuna, Albies, and Riley typically do damage against everybody, but take a look against lefties this year. 037 ISO power number for Acuna, 136 for Ozzie Albies. Austin Riley at 138, that doesn't match up. There's two guys in the lineup tonight that I would take a look at for RBI props tonight if you're looking for that Braves section. It's Marcell Ozuna, 38 at-bats he's faced against left-handed pitching. How about this? A 226 ISO power number and a weighted on base percentage of 458. Sensational. Also with a low K rate below 20% against lefties. Adam Duvall, 33 bats he's had against left-handed pitching this year, Ben. 259 ISO and a 378 weighted on base percentage. If you don't want to take a look at that high price there, that high total, those two guys there plus money, Ozuna and Duvall here, to get an RBI apiece, I think that makes some sense in this matchup.
So now we go to Milwaukee. The Brew Crew, the best team in the National League Central at this moment with the best record, 16-8. Lost the first two games of a four-game set against Pittsburgh this week, bounced back with two consecutive wins. They take on the New York Yankees. Luis Gil on the bump today, and the Yanks booked as a road favorite in Milwaukee. Again, we're seeing the teams that we expect to be favorites pretty much each and every day for 162 in MLB booked as those favorite sides today.
Yesterday, the problem with the New York Yankees wasn't getting base runners. I believe they stranded 15 runners yesterday. Tough scene for me as well. I thought I could get at least an RBI or two out of Juan Soto and or Aaron Judge. It didn't work out, even though in the first inning of that game, the bottom of the first, you probably should have at least two runs by the Yankees. They lose that one, so looking for a bounce-back effort. But here's the issue. You see that graphic up there. It's an 8.5 number on the run. You say, boy, I think the Yankees were able to help out here. And also, when you're trying to take a look at the Milwaukee Brewers, fresh off of a pretty good offensive performance yesterday, but I lean towards the under. You take a look at Colin Ray, not really a household name, but he's had some decent starts here. 94 batters that he's faced on the season. Take a look at his combined ISO and weighted on-base percentage. 103 and 298. That's fantastic. You take a look at the other side. Hill has been a really good pitcher here on the mound for the New York Yankees. You know, pitching just about as good as anybody right now in the American League. I'll take the under 8.5 in this game, Ben.
Yeah, I like that look as well. Total at 7.5 in Fenway tonight because it's an aces affair. And the focus on Shota Imanaga in his first year in Major League Baseball with the Chicago Cubs, a 3-0 record. And right now for Imanaga, a .84 ERA. He has allowed two earned runs in total in his four starts. Chicago, a very slight favorite at -110 against the Red Sox.
Usually tough to see that 8 at Fenway and say you want to go under, but also keep in mind, two very good pitchers on the mound, but also include this, 49 degrees, Ben, at first pitch tonight. Wind blowing in from right field at 7 miles an hour. It just makes sense to me that this game is probably more of an under than an over.
The Cubbies have won three straight. Yeah. They take that win streak into Boston tonight. Now we go up to the Great White North where the Dodgers continue their East Coast swing. The Toronto Blue Jays hosting L.A. today. -124 Los Angeles, pretty much always going to be booked as a favorite. Total at 9, despite Chris Bassitt being on the bump for the Jays.
Yeah, let's keep it simple in this game, too. Bassitt really struggles with left-handed batters, as he did last year. Why is that important? I don't know. You got Shohei Ohtani. Take a look at Shohei Ohtani's numbers against right-handed pitchers this year. 70 at-bats he's had, Ben, a .475 ISO power number. Just to put that again, if you're not used to hearing that terminology, about a .170 is the Major League Baseball average. He's at a .475, not through 3 at-bats, 5 at-bats, or 10 at-bats. That's 70 at-bats here. If you're looking for other left-handed batters in the lineup, that do make some sense. Look no further than Max Muncy in the middle of that lineup. 64 at-bats against right-handed pitching here, Ben. .231 ISO, .358 weighted on base percentage. Two RBIs I'm looking at there, Ohtani and also Max Muncy here.
Shohei Ohtani right now, third best batting average in Major League Baseball. Mookie Betts leads them all at a .374 average, and Will Smith mixed in, by the way, in the top five. Quickly here, DRS, let's just show the odds. We can talk about it a little bit later on. An aces affair in San Diego. Joe Musgrove for San Diego. Aaron Nola on the other side for Philly, trying to back up what Zach Wheeler did yesterday, blanking the Reds in Cincinnati. Philly, a slight road favorite. Stanley Cup playoff talk with Casey Hudson. On the other side of the break, you're on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Puck Talk, live right here in studio on this Friday on the early line on Sports Grid. He's Donnie Wrightside. I'm Ben Stevens. I did a bad thing in terms of television hosting. You tease a guest we were not sure was in studio yet. We hope Casey Hudson can join us because she has the real ice advice for the Stanley Cup postseason. But we'll bring you the scores and what is at stake. Four games today. That's a quadruple header of playoff action around the National Hockey League on this Friday. But first, DRS, we look back on a doubleheader last night in the NHL. Game three, a change of venue where both teams that were up 2-0 after winning the opening two games of their series on home ice continue to do the same away from home. Tough one for us, Tampa Bay Lightning fans, for this postseason run. Tough one for Casey Hudson. The Lightning, a slight home ice favorite last night in the Sunshine State battle against the Florida Panthers. Do not take advantage of home ice or that money line favored side. The Panthers lay the wood 5-3. Sorry, Casey and Donnie. Hey, listen, I'm waiting on my Bolt sweater as well, but the Panthers now a 3-0 series lead.
But by the way, you know, like Casey's not here right now. If there is technical difficulties, maybe throwing stuff around the studio last night, very upset with the Lightning at this point. She's very passionate here about her hockey talk, particularly about her Lightning. But a 5-3, look, it's 3-0. hey, we can still – come on now. Like, we very rarely see teams come all the way back. And also, taking a look at the Panthers that just have the Lightning number here. Every single game, wrapping it up. Stamkos last night, can't even help him out. One goal yesterday, not good enough. And by the way, I do shed a tear sometimes. Sergei Bobrovsky is the goalie for the Florida Panthers. He was like an 18-, 19-year-old goalie for the Philadelphia Flyers. I was like, yeah, my guy can't play. Of course, they always play better outside of Philadelphia at this point. But another win by the Panthers here, continuing to move on. This is what – look, premier franchise in the NHL, the Lightning. Sure. Not a great look right now.
The man called Bob, though. Huge 4-4 to making that run to the Stanley Cup final a year ago, coming up ever so short against the Vegas Golden Knights. They were the 8th seed last year, right? It was the story in the Sunshine State, the Miami Heat, the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference NBA postseason, both making that improbable run. Not improbable right now for Florida. Second best price to hoist Lord Stanley's Cup at plus 550, only behind the Carolina Hurricanes, who are the favorites right now to win the Stanley Cup at plus 440. Carolina in a battle last night on the island in New York against those Islanders. Carolina scored and took an early lead, had to hold on against the Isles. The Canes do that. 3-2 victory in game number three. Carolina, much like Florida, a 3-0 series advantage.
Yeah, if you can write a script for how you're supposed to go in a kitchen sink game, is again, I like to point that the home team on home ice down 0-2 already needs that victory. And what do they always say to themselves in the locker room, Ben, before they come out? Let's get that good start. Let's get the good vibes on our side. And let's keep the crowd involved in it. You're down 2-0 at the end of the first intermission. That's not going to work out in your favor. And also, you're talking about devastating type losses. We talk about so much like the Los Angeles Lakers. Yeah. Should have won their basketball game. Came out in game number three, still didn't win that one. The Philadelphia 76ers, unbelievable loss in game number two in the Garden. Came out in game three, established themselves with a victory. You take a look at the Hurricanes and Islanders game. The Islanders were on the road about to even up the series, Ben, 3-0, and lost that game outright. Then you come home and lose a tough one, 3-2 at home. 3-0 series lead. Looks like lights out there, certainly for the Islanders.
So when you look at both of these series right now, the FanDuel Sportsbook not even hanging odds, DRS, for what that series outright price is. Is for game number four, Florida a minus 120 favorite tomorrow afternoon into the early evening hours in Tampa. Again, the Panthers minus 120 to pull off the sweep over the Bolts. And in the other series between the Islanders and the Hurricanes, again, Carolina was minus 170 road money line favorite yesterday. The Isles were the underdog, even a greater price, minus 182 in favor of the Canes. So those two top teams in the Stanley Cup odds, Carolina and Florida, also the two top teams in the Eastern Conference odds. In fact, the three best prices to win the Stanley Cup right now, all from the East. Carolina, Florida, and the New York Rangers. The Rangers plus 270 in the Eastern Conference. So we go to game number three quickly tonight in the nation's capital. The Blue Shirts bring a minus 176 road money line favored price against the Washington Capitals, that over under DRS 5.5.
Yeah, one of those teams with the Capitals that we've talked about so many times with the experts that come on with us maybe shouldn't be in the playoffs here, but the one team we know should be in the playoffs, the Rangers, with more points than anybody in the NHL this season. And also, four games tonight, Ben. This is the only one where you have a series lead of 2-0, which I expect to be 3-0 by the end of the night. It's a heavy favorite for the Rangers, rightfully so. They're the better team across the board.
Trying to change that President's Trophy curse. Last 10 wins. Winners of the President's Trophy have not reached the Stanley Cup final. Only one into the conference finals. Last year's winner, after a historic season, the Boston Bruins, bounced in the opening round. The New York Rangers do not seem like that will be the case. Up 2-0 right now, but they do head to D.C. to take on the Caps tonight. What a game it was in game number two up in Edmonton. The Kings storm all the way back. They win in OT 5-4 over the Oilers. Now we go from Edmonton all the way down to sunny Southern California in Los Angeles. The Kings, though, still a home money line underdog. Are we ready? I see you're there. Are we ready? Casey Hudson!
We're good.
Thank you for saving us from talking hockey anymore. We're just setting up the odds. Casey, we're going right in, though, as we keep the pace here to the Oilers and the Kings tonight. It's game number three. L.A. wins game number two in overtime in Edmonton. Now they change venue to Southern California. Kings, the home underdog, is the right side favored.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Oilers know how to compete on the road, and they're a little embarrassed after their previous performance. Skinner has to do a lot better, and their D-zone has to tighten up. But I expect them to try to overwhelm offensively and get back in this game and try to lead the series yet again. So I like the Oilers money line here. I also like their over total. I think it takes them a minute to get their legs going, and The LA Kings are trying to stay in the contention here, and they find ways to score goals. And they have goal scorers that can get past Skinner. So I like Oilers first period puck line just over half at +158, but I like the Oilers on the money line as well.
There we go. We'll see what happens there. That's a West Coast game starting at 10:30. Casey, we'll keep it late night tonight. 10 p.m. start. It's going to be Winnipeg and Colorado, a -170 favorite here. Actually up from the FanDuel Sportsbook of -146 from earlier today, and a total of 6.5. We're expecting goals. What can we expect from a victory here by either one of these teams?
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting series. The Jets' defense is just not coming up to par here. They're kind of looking like they did after All-Star Week. They're relying on their top pairing to get the job done, and that's putting a lot of pressure on their goaltender. With that said, I expect them obviously to try to make these corrections, but the Avalanche's offense is just so overwhelming. They have that depth scoring, even if it's not their top line between McKinnon and Rantanen and getting it done. I think that the Avalanche can end up actually pulling this one off. I think that Georgiev has been questionable in net at best. So while I don't trust him much, Walker is going to show up a little bit better. Cale Makar is going to try to help out in the D zone a lot more because he doesn't need to get in on the scoring. He can leave that to the forwards. So with that said, my value plays there are going to probably be more so an under total of 6.5. I think they keep it a bit closer tonight. You can always look to McKinnon and Rantanen to pick up points and also check out the Avalanche on that second period puck line. They're going to let this opponent feel them out a little bit in the first, and they're going to try to take a commanding presence for the last 40 minutes.
So, Casey, something I find fascinating, three best prices to win the Stanley Cup right now, all from the Eastern Conference, Carolina, then Florida, then the New York Rangers. Fourth best number, the Edmonton Oilers, who you've always been slightly cautious of reaching that end goal throughout this NHL season. If you had to pick a team out of the West where you think there's value right now to maybe contend for the Stanley Cup, who would that team be?
I'm going to go with potentially the Golden Knights. They are getting back into rare form. They were one of my upset alerts, and if they get past the Stars, then they have the opportunity to go all the way. Their new pieces are fighting for having playoff space. They come from teams that weren't really capitalizing on those opportunities. Hannafin has been off the charts since joining this team. Mark Stone comes back in rare form. Jonathan Marchesso. Barbashev's not talked about enough in what he did in the playoffs, and he's picking up right where he left off. So I think if there's a team to continue to sneak up there, it could be the Golden. If not, look out for the Predators. They get past this round because Demko's not in net, then they're going to be a team that can wear out their opponent just like the Panthers do in the East. So I'm looking at the Preds and the Golden Knights for the West here.
The Preds, a home ice favorite tonight against the Canucks in Smashville, the Vegas Golden Knights, after winning both in Dallas, back home for game number 3 tomorrow night on a Saturday in Viva Las Vegas. Casey, thank you sincerely as always. NBA playoff breakdown next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
From the ice to the hardwood we go. It's playoff action on this Friday. Quadruple header in the National Hockey League.
Yep.
Triple header in the National Basketball Association, including a game. And I'm really excited to break down with Donnie the only game we have out east tonight, game number 3 in Indianapolis between the Pacers and the Bucks.
Beautiful.
Not because of how the game might look, but because of when the game starts. 4:30 p.m. Central Time tip in Indy. We'll get to it in just a moment. But we start with a series tied at 1-1. The Clippers without Kawhi Leonard win game number 1 shorthanded. The Clippers get Kawhi Leonard back, and Luka Doncic goes off in game number 2 in Los Angeles for the Mavericks to even up the series at 1-1. Now we change venues. We go to Dallas for the first time, and the Mavs booked as a 4.5-point home favorite. Total continues to work its way up. We had a graphic earlier this morning at 210. There it is. We're up by 3 points.
Yeah.
It's 213 tonight, DRS, in Dallas.
Yeah, and it should be that way, too, because here's what we're trying to decide. And also, just getting back to the framework of this series, I think coming into we both agreed that the Dallas Mavericks were probably the better team. And also, you have the benefit of the doubt by saying to yourself, we don't know when if Kawhi Leonard, is coming back in the series. Game number 1, I thought that would be not a walk in the park is unfair. It's still a road basketball game in the playoffs, but a victory here for the Mavericks. That turned into a loss. And then by our surprise, you figure like, okay, well, Kawhi's got an extra couple days to rehab, and we won't see him for game number 2, or at least when the series gets tied up. Kawhi Leonard shows up at shoot-around, Ben. Kawhi Leonard is in the starting lineup and playing major minutes. This could have got quickly away from the Mavericks, where you might have thought they would return home to Dallas 2-0, where they would have been 0-2. But a nice performance, particularly on defense, for the Dallas Mavericks in game number two,
yeah,
which now affords them to be the favorite at game number three. But here I go with this. I do think the Dallas Mavericks win this series, but I don't know about this, you know, 4.5-point favorite now for the Mavericks, because you're still in that realm where if you think the Clippers can win, fantastic, you're going to bet them, of course. But even if they lose and you think it's going to be a close game, 4.5 points is a pretty good number to have back. And Kawhi Leonard, coming back after missing 8 games down the stretch in the regular season, missing game number one, plays a lot of minutes. We haven't heard anything to the contrary, Ben, that, oh no, that knee swelled up again. We don't know if he's available for game number three. So I'm actually expecting a better effort out of Kawhi Leonard in game number three than even game number two. I'm rooting for the Mavericks in this game,
right,
but to be honest, I'm a little bit nauseous of that 4.5 in betting it, going like, oh no, I knew this was going to happen. The Clippers are full gas here, and they're getting points. This is the way I should be going. Rooting for the Mavericks, but that 4.5 points looks to me like it might be a good deal for the other side.
Yeah, Dallas as a home favorite throughout the entirety of this season. Of course, first home playoff game in the postseason, 15-13 against the spread. The Clippers, one of the worst underdog teams in the NBA, 7-12 against the number, not booked as a dog all that often throughout the regular season, and were the home favorite except for game number one. But in game number two, they were that home favorite side. Luka Doncic, 32 points in game two, 33 points in the opening game of this series. Points prop tonight, 33.5. But here's my favorite Luka Doncic wrinkle for this game. 3-point prop, 4.5. When you look at the game log for Luka, it's much like how we broke it down for Joel Embiid yesterday. The volume is there, and Joel Embiid made 5 of his 7 threes a night ago. I don't need Luka Doncic at 50%. I don't need him even better than 50%. 14 threes in game two attempted against L.A. He made 5 over this number. 12 threes attempted in game number one. He made 4. The volume is there for Luka Doncic. I go over 4.5 made threes. And by the way, when you look at this series overall, we expect it to be competitive, tied at 1 game apiece. Of course, this is the 3rd playoff matchup between the Clippers and the Mavericks in the last 5 years. Dallas now, 4.5-point home favorite tonight, -164, this series outright price. Ultimately, do you think Dallas wins this series and advances in the second round?
Yeah, I bet him to win the series here a little bit. If you would have told me before the series, no Kawhi Leonard in either game, I'd probably say it was still coming back 1-1 to Dallas, even though Kawhi Leonard has now played in game number two, and they lost that game, still tied 1-1. I'm not losing any sleep here over that. I think the Dallas Mavericks win. But also, take a look at some of the points props here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. You're getting some balance here, Ben, by the way. Forget about looking at the superstars from the Dallas side. Look at the Clippers side. Kawhi Leonard, 22.5 points. Paul George, 20.5 points. James Harden, 17.5 points. But the guys that I look forward to is like Russell Westbrook coming off the bench, only 7.5 points. On the road, you need those bench guys to come in and give you support. It can't just be all in the all-stars here. So I look at Russell Westbrook at 7.5 as a decent look. And also, Zubac has had a decent series, 12.5. But if I'm looking and saying, if one guy doesn't play well, it's Paul George, I don't think they can win this game.
Right.
Paul George has to get to that 20-point number for them to have a chance for me, Ben.
Absolutely so. So 2 of the 3 games feature a series that is tied at 1 game all as we change venues. The only one that is not, that's in Phoenix tonight. The Suns down in that 0-2 hole against the Minnesota Timberwolves, but the odds makers at FanDuel expect Phoenix to bounce back. 4.5-point home favorite total at 208. Donnie, the Suns need to win this game. We know that, of course, down 0-2 in game number three back on their home floor. Will they and can they cover as a 4.5-point home favorite?
56% of the tickets here coming in on the Minnesota Timberwolves, so a lot of love there. And also take a look at that 4.5 number, which does seem interesting because we just talked about a game with a 4.5. But I'm going to be true again. I was wrong with Cleveland going on the road, and I'm saying to myself, well, I saw what I saw the first 2 games. I don't know if they can score, they being or the Orlando Magic, over 100 points, easily surpass that here. And this is one of those games where, again, even though the Los Angeles Lakers didn't win the game yesterday against the Denver Nuggets, you're still going to have a competitive game in this. And also, we've talked about this so many times. Where does Phoenix go from here if they actually get swept out by the Minnesota Timberwolves in round number one with 3 guys that are probably going to wind up in the Hall of Fame when it's all said and done? That's not a great look here. So that line at 4.5 is very strong and a good indicator for what we anticipate out of the Phoenix Suns. But having said that, all that good stuff here, I'm still going to ride with Minnesota because I think they're better. And defense always travels in any sport here. And the one thing we know, Minnesota plays great defense here, and they've really stymied the Suns. So who's going to step up on the Suns tonight to lead them to victory? I don't think it's going to be 30, 29, and 28 points. Somebody has to get to the 40s, Devin Booker, for me.
Phoenix has not scored 100 points as a team. In fact, not more than 95 in this series. Home team total tonight in the Valley, 106.5. I actually like the total to the over. Game one went over.
It's so low.
They've given up a lot of points, but this total's dropping. 216 in game one, 211.5 in game number two, and it stayed well under. Again, Phoenix only scored 93. Minnesota scored 105. But why is this dropping if Phoenix needs it? They're booked as the favorite. Donnie shared. We have a lot of bets coming in on Minnesota. And yet the line is slightly working, at least add on that additional hook, from 4 points to 4.5 now in favor of the Suns. We'll preview the game that tips at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time in Indianapolis.
Yeah,
on the other side of the break, it's the Pacers and the Bucks in game number three with some best bets next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A triple header of NBA playoff action in our final segment live right here on this Friday on the early line to wrap up this week and send you into a huge sports weekend all across the sports landscape. We'll get to the best bets in just a matter of moments, but still one final game in the triple header tonight. It's the only game in the Eastern Conference, and it starts early.
Yes.
5:30 p.m. Eastern time.
So good.
4:30 p.m. Central time. That's the local tip time in Indianapolis. Donnie Wrightside will be up for the entirety of it. You got
to
be, right?
Bell to bell.
Bell to bell.
Bell to bell tonight.
Yeah. 5:30 p.m. Eastern time tip. Indiana and Milwaukee. The Pacers hosting the Bucks. It's a 6-point spread in favor of Indiana, over under 223.5. Of course, no Giannis Antetokounmpo still here in game number three, and the Pacers the heaviest favorite of the three games tonight.
Yeah, one of the wild swings here that you're going to take a look at in a playoff series. In game number one, it's like, oh boy, look at this. Dame Lillard's back, and it's Dame time, and he doesn't even score a point in the second half. It doesn't matter. They roll Indiana, and Indiana isn't ready for prime time, even without Giannis, right? Game number two, completely flipped that on its head. Yep. Giannis doesn't play in that game either. The Pacers were tremendous all the way through, even though you did have Dame Dash have a very good game there. Now we switch venues. Game number three, and what's the first thing, Ben, that sticks out? That is a strong number here for the Pacers at -6. So indicators say we do think the Pacers are going to win, obviously. But number two, Giannis Antetokounmpo is not playing in this game. Otherwise, this will be much, much lower. So the question mark is going to be, when does Giannis return? Are we looking at this saying, well, let's get the win here. If we are Milwaukee, then we can sit him in game number four because at least we won't be tied, or worst case scenario, tied, going back for game number five. But I look at this overall and I say that 223.5.
Yeah.
We saw the Pacers finally enter the playoffs in game number two, Ben, which means comfortable on offense, guys are scoring, Halliburton's assisting, Siakam looks like he's ready for another championship run as if he was with the Toronto Raptors. I like what I see here. I think the tempo is going to be great. I think the three-point shots are going down. Give me the over in this game. I'm a little bit leery of the 6 points here, to be honest, but I do think that game is going to have good flow, and it's not 235, 245 like we saw the Pacers in some of those games in the regular season. Give me the over 223.5. I think it makes some sense
tonight. You see it's on the rise by 2.5 points from that opening number on this Friday morning, and here's the really fascinating thing. 230 was the number for game one. Stayed well under. Indiana didn't even get to 95 points, only 94 in total. But they brought that pace in game number two, 125. It went over 223.5 by a pretty good margin. You would expect then for all the odds fluctuations we have seen, DRS, for the odds makers to up that total. In fact, it opened lower and the market has reset it to the same pregame number of where it was game two for game number three. I also like Indiana's team total over 113.5, the juice on the over at -120. All right, now time for a best bet on this Friday to send you in to your weekend. Before we say farewell for the week, before we say goodbye, it is time for bye bye bye. ERS. We've got a full Major League Baseball slate. We've got night number two, rounds two and three in the 2024 NFL draft. We've got three games in the NBA postseason. We've got a quadruple header of Stanley Cup playoff action. What gets your attention?
Normally, I would say, you know, the best value on the board is Will Shipley, 35-1 to be the first running back off the board tonight, but we're not going to go there. It's Major League Baseball. It's Shohei Ohtani, exactly. At a plus 100 price to record an RBI tonight. Case in point, Ohtani's been dominant against right-handed pitching. And take a look here on the mound. Chris Bassett, the right-handed pitcher, going up against left-handed batters tonight. Only a 12.5% K rate, which means that ball is going to be put in play tonight. And also an ISO power number of 217 and a weighted on-base percentage of 468 against left-handed batters. Ohtani gets it done tonight, RBI or more at plus 100. Ben.
When you look at Shohei Ohtani in his Dodgers debut so far, 358. Third best batting average in all of Major League Baseball, as we shared earlier. Three of the four best batting averages in all of the bigs hail from L.A. Mookie Betts leads them all. Will Smith, fourth best batting average. I'm going to the NFL draft, although I love Luka Doncic over 4.5 made threes tonight for Dallas against the L.A. Clippers. I love the total that we shared for that game in Indianapolis between the Pacers and the Bucks. I'm going to go to the NFL draft. And I think there's a couple of markets that still are ripe for the taking tonight, even though they are in pretty hefty minus money. Cooper DeJean to go in front of Kool-Aid McKinstry, the cornerback battle, minus 180, the odds working in his favor. The New England Patriots, who have the second pick in this second round, for that second draft pick to be a wide receiver, minus 210, although hefty minus money, not terrible by NFL draft standards. I like both of those minus money plays. And if the minus money is a little bit too steep for your blood, how about plus money? Jatavion Sanders out of Texas to be the second tight end drafted. Brock Bowers went 13th overall last night to Las Vegas. Jatavion Sanders to be the second tight end drafted, plus 150. He's Donnie Wrightside.
I am.
I'm Ben Stevens. Yes, he is. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday, live right here on the Early Line.